Good morning, and welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Liz Hoffman, your host of the show. Faith and Family is underwritten by our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin, so we want you to be sure and check out their website and all that they have to offer. We have a link to Concordia on our website, kfuo.org. This week on the show, we've been discussing the topic of spring break, and we've been giving you some great ideas on how to keep your kids occupied while they're home. Now, I want you to remember that you, our listeners, get to be a part of the show. You can call or email your questions and comments for our expert. You can call or email anytime during the show. The numbers in St. Louis are 314-505-7850 or out of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. Or you can also email us your questions or comments to family@kfuo.org. So let's jump into today's subject. And all week here on Faith and Family, we're talking about spring break and what to do with your kids. Our guest today is a Christian psychologist, a homeschool mom of six. She's an author, a speaker, a tennis player, a fitness enthusiast, and an all-around organization junkie. Whew, I'm wore out just thinking about all of that. Dr. Melanie Wilson, thank you so much for joining Faith and Family.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we are very excited to have you. And any mom who has this much going on has to be incredibly creative in her time management. So I'm thrilled to talk with you and anxious to learn all about how you do it. Tell us a little bit about your time. What is a normal day like for you?
I don't know if I have a normal day, what most people would consider a normal day. But I get up in the morning. I have some devotion time by myself and maybe exercise or write depending on the day. And then the kids get up and we have breakfast. We do chores. Then we start school and we do group teaching until about lunchtime. Then we have lunch. And then we either continue with subjects that we haven't finished in the morning, in the afternoon, or the kids work on their own independent work in the afternoon. And then I have some time to do all the things that I have to do, a lot of things that I have to get done. Then we do some weekly chores in the afternoon and just have more free time, break time. When the kids' friends who go to traditional school get home, they like to play with them in the neighborhood.
Right.
And then we have dinner, and then we have our family time at night. And that's pretty much what my days look like, unless I'm running somewhere.
Great, great. Well, what about your kids? Tell us a little bit about them and their ages.
Okay. My oldest is 16, going on 17. He is, for the first time, going to school. He goes to Lindbergh High School here in St. Louis, and he's doing really, really well. We're very pleased with how that's going. He's been involved in drama, and now he's on the tennis team. And so he's gotten to do some things that he wasn't able to do as a homeschooler all these years, and he's just doing fantastic. We're thrilled with how it's going.
Great.
And then I have my next son is 13, and then I have a son, not 13, he's 14.
It goes
I can't
by
keep
quick.
Track of all of it. I have a 14-year-old. I have a just-turned 13-year-old son. I have a 10-year-old son. Then I have one girl in the mix, and she is 9. And then I have a 7-year-old son. That's my baby.
Wow. Wow. So you are busy.
Yes.
Now, when I looked you up online, I found your picture, and you were dressed up as Wonder Woman.
Yes.
What is that all about?
That's a good question. I had the inspiration a number of years ago that Wonder Woman is actually a biblical figure. And it came to me that her costume is much like the spiritual armor that we are advised to put on in Ephesians 6. She wears the belt of truth, and she has the breastplate of righteousness. And I decided that I would put a whole talk together for women called So You're Not Wonder Woman. And I would actually put the costume on while I was speaking and just helping women to see visually what it is that God is calling us to do. A lot of times, speakers for women will tell them, you know, you're not Wonder Woman. In fact, Sheila Walsh wrote a book, I'm Not Wonder Woman, But God Made Me Wonderful. And I agree with her on that aspect that God did make us wonderful. But she says to women, take your cape off, you know, just put it away. And my admonition for women was, you know, keep the cape on, because we are called to do extraordinary things through the power of Christ. And I think a lot of times women sell themselves short. I'm not talking about, you know, take on another job and do more activities. I'm talking about doing extraordinary things through the power of Christ. And that's a lot different. So in the course of that talk, I spoke to women about how to get organized and how to just deal with some sin issues that I really, really struggled with in my life, mm-hmm. and things like overeating and just a number of different issues. And then I was led some years later, after that talk was successful for me and popular, to write a book by the same title. So that's where that comes from. That's a long answer to that question.
Wow, that's wonderful, though. So you speak at different events?
I do. I speak at women's retreats, and I've spoken at homeschooling conferences. Those have been the most frequent places that I've spoken, besides radio interviews.
Well, being a mom of three myself, I'll admit I've sent a kid to practice at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. I've forgot to send a show-and-tell item with my preschooler. There have been right. all kinds of errors with basically just from overscheduling. Mm-hmm. How do you keep the activities of six kids straight?
Well, I have a touch of ADD. I'm a functional, distracted person. And I could not do it, honestly, without my iPhone at this point, without having a smartphone. When I made the switch to having a smartphone and using alarms and reminders,
right.
it revolutionized my life. I mean, there were so many times when people would say, "Where are you?" And I just completely forgot. And the few times that I haven't had my phone on my person, I actually wear it all the time, unless it's in my purse right by me. Then I've forgotten important things. So I have to do that for myself. And I make liberal use of my calendar online that gives me reminders via my phone. And I'm always trying to find better systems for making the most of my time, because I do have a lot of interests and a lot of commitments, and I don't want to give up many of those. I have to give up some of them, but I don't want to give up too many. And so I have to just constantly be testing new ways of making the most of my time. I do that on my blog. I actually have a series on Fridays where I report a new productivity time management approach that I've been using the previous week and how it worked for me. So that it's actually been really great, because it gives me that, you know, commitment that I have to be constantly working on my productivity and time management.
That's great. And how are you're able to keep Christ in your life, and you're teaching your children to do the same? How have you been able to pass that faith down to your children?
That's been the biggest blessing of my homeschooling, for sure, because not only have I been able to teach my children, but it constantly affirms my own faith, what we study and learn about. We've done curriculum that teaches kids to defend their faith, apologetics for kids, that's absolutely superb, that I've gotten from Answers in Genesis, just a fantastic website. These past few weeks, I am in a co-op that I do at my home with some other families that we're friends with. They come to my house on Fridays, and we study various topics in depth, and we do all kinds of fun activities. And this last month, we've been studying Easter. And just the materials, the videos, the homework that we've had to do have been so faith-affirming to me and my kids. Like, for example, we watched a video about the Christian symbolism of the Jewish Passover, things that I had no idea of before my friend introduced us to that video. So it's just been incredible, and I would hate to think what my life would have been like if I had missed that.
That's really great. What would you say some of the biggest challenges are with having so many different titles on your shoulders? I would say that there has to be some challenges.
Oh, yeah. Just constantly keeping my family and my husband at the forefront of what I'm doing. You know, that my husband and my kids are not an interruption in my day and in my life and in my work. They're the reason for my work. And I'm of course speaking apart from Christ, because Christ is at the foundation of everything. But the next level is my husband, and then the next level is my children. And it's easy for me to get caught up in, oh, well, I'm in charge of this activity at church, or I have a speaking engagement coming up, or I'm working on something that I'm writing, and my kids are bugging me, and my husband's wanting me to do something for him, and that's an interruption. That is the biggest challenge, where I just constantly have to say, that is why I am on this earth first and foremost, is to serve my husband and to disciple my children, and everything else is secondary. And it's easy for me to get kind of caught up in, you know, pleasing all kinds of other people besides my family.
Well, that's great advice, and I think that many mothers and wives out there, including myself, can take note of that, because we do easily get wrapped up in, there's just so much to do all the time, mm-hmm. and sometimes you're just like, just you know, throw a movie in, kids, so I can get this
right.
done or whatever. And I know that's not the way to do it.
Right.
Well, anyway, this week we've been talking about spring break and how to keep our kids occupied while they're home. And Monday we talked about too much technology and how it can be a negative aspect for our kids. Can you give us your thoughts about this?
Absolutely. I am a tech family. I made the decision a number of years ago to allow video games to come into our home, and that ship's already sailed, so it's not worth saying, oh, should I or shouldn't I have. It has sailed, and so I have to find ways to keep my children under control and having limits with their screen time, overall screen time. And we've tried a number of things to manage that. One of the biggest helps is my husband, who is very much into fitness and activity, and he hates it when the kids spend too much time sitting inside.
Right.
And so he's always going, get outside, everybody outside. And
yes.
he's always saying, we're going to go hiking now, we're going to go play tennis now, and those kinds of things. So that really helps. And then I also, together with a friend of mine, after really praying about this issue, came up with an approach that really has worked very well for our family for many months now, and that is we have a set evening that the kids can play games, and that works really well because they have friends that mm-hmm. they like to play with as well. But apart from that, they have a two-hour period of time per week that they can play games or have screen time. And the majority of them have to agree that they're going to use the time at that point. And I have a dry erase board on my refrigerator, and it's two circles that each represent an hour. And then they fill in how much time of that they've used during the week. And it just, they really like it, because it keeps them from constantly saying, can we play games? Can we play games? Can we play games? Because they know if you have time, yes. If you don't have time, no.
What a wonderful idea, because that, can we play, can I play, can I,
yeah.
I get that at home
right.
all the time.
Right.
It's like, no, go outside, you know,
uh-huh.
just nonstop.
Yeah.
Well, what are some ideas of other activities that you might have for kids to do instead of watching TV or playing the Wii or playing on the computer for hours on end while they're home? A lot of kids are home during spring break or over an Easter break.
Right. You know, I can give you, I wrote a whole bunch of activities on my blog this week. My blog is psychowithsix.com, and you can check out how to make the most of spring break with 30 unique ideas. I just put that on the blog yesterday. But, you know, I think one of the most important things to think about is the fact that kids can create their own activities and interests and ideas if you give them the opportunity, you know, by cutting off what they normally gravitate toward. And I've been amazed at what my children have come up with, things that I would not have suggested. At one point, my son had created an entire paper city in my basement. he got really into paper crafting. He started watching origami videos online, and then he just took off with it. And he was making his own origami videos for YouTube, and I thought it was fantastic. But if I had just kind of kept him busy all the time telling him what to do or allowing him to indulge his interest in video games, then that would not have happened. So
right.
I think that's really important, just to give your kids the space, the freedom to be bored so that they will come up with things.
That sounds so familiar. Just last weekend, my son, who's 9 now, I wasn't allowing the TV or the video games, and I said, here's where the construction paper is. He started making paper airplanes. Well, he wanted to have one for several countries. So he did look up online the flags of different countries, and he drew the flags of all these countries on each airplane. So we have paper airplanes all over the house now.
Yes.
But he has an understanding of the different flags of the countries. So, you know, it was kind of a learning experience for him. So, so many ideas out there. And you're right.
That's
you
fantastic.
Never know what they're going to do. I would have never thought that he would come up with something like that. But it worked.
Right.
Well, yesterday we also talked about the importance of reading.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any secrets to get children to want to read?
I actually do. My husband sells library books to schools. So our house is chock full of books. And one of the things that I discovered inadvertently about encouraging kids to read is that kids get excited whenever new books come into your home. My husband has shipments of books coming in all the time, and all the kids get excited when that happens. And they go to the box and start pulling through, and they enjoy it so much. And we can recreate that with the library by going to the library and just making sure that you have lots and lots of books. Actually, there's really good research that shows that in the summertime in particular, when children don't have a wide variety of books that tap into their interests, they don't read. And when they don't read, their achievement academically will drop significantly over time. And with enough summers like that, they will be so far behind by the time they're in high school that significant damage has been done that will impact their future. So it's so important, you know, whether it's spring break, that you get them, you know, take them to the library and find a bunch of books. If you have a Kindle, spend some time with your child looking at different books that the child might like to read on that Kindle.
Right.
Just give them lots and lots of variety. That's one of the things that it's hard to go overboard with giving children too many books to read. We can do overboard with a lot of other areas, but reading probably isn't one of them. That's really my best suggestion, besides the fact that my husband has periodically offered the kids a reward, like taking them out for a shake if they read so many books. And he will do that to kind of kickstart their reading. And then usually he doesn't have to do much of anything else after that, because then they get into it.
They're in their own habit of doing
it,
and they want to.
They do.
That's great.
And another great way to get kids reading is to listen to audiobooks. Have them listen to an audiobook. And a lot of times that sparks an interest in even reading the book. I know a lot of people think that's crazy, you know, that once they've listened to an audiobook or even seen a movie that's based on a book, that they wouldn't want to read the book. But my husband would tell you otherwise, that when a movie comes out, for example, the sales of that book skyrocket in the schools because the kids want to check it out and read it. So it's, you know, I've talked to a lot of moms who say, oh, I would never do that. I would always want them to read the book first and then go see the movie. And I think that's fine. But if you have a child who's struggling to have interest in reading, it might be just the thing to let them watch the movie and then say, you know how movies don't always, you know, cover everything that's fantastic about
right.
a story. Why don't you read the book and see, you know, how well it matches up, or, you know, if there are more exciting parts that they cut out.
That's a great
idea. In the interest
idea.
Of time.
Wonderful. We do have a caller that has called in. Jan, thank you for joining us, Jan.
Oh, thank you for taking a call. Hi, Dr. Wilson.
Hi, Jan.
Jan, where are you calling from today?
Well, Atlanta, Georgia.
Wonderful.
Metropolitan Atlanta. I thank God for KFUO. You know, I think that's just our wonderful witness to the world.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you listening. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Wilson?
I sure do. One of my friends homeschools her four children, and she has a daughter who's 9. Wonderful child, you know, just a talented musician, wonderful singer. She's like the babysitter for, you know, our congregation. And, but the struggle here in Georgia, we have a criterion referenced competency test that children in primary grades have to pass in order to advance, right? And the struggle that my friend's having is getting her daughter to spell. And the child is as gifted as she is, that's how stubborn she is. So I'd love some thoughts and insights and advice on how to break that will, but not her spirit.
Okay. Well, funny you should mention that. You know, one of the things I have discovered just personally and in interacting with lots of homeschoolers is that homeschoolers tend to be a rather strong-willed lot of people. I mean, after all, they have chosen to do something that's pretty countercultural still, to say, oh, I'm not going to send my child to school. I'm going to teach them myself. And strong-willed people tend to have strong-willed children. So it's not surprising when we have a strong-willed child. And I know as a homeschooler, I thought, well, see, this will be great because I am going to be completely in control of my family and my kids are just going to do exactly what I tell them to do and everything's going to work out great. And my oldest son decided to teach me that that isn't how it works.
Kind of how when Eve named Cain Lord, she repented of that.
Yeah, well, my son actually, I think, did me a favor because I think I was really going down the wrong road in thinking that it was my will that needed to be done in my homeschooling. And really what I needed was to do the Lord's will and to teach my children according to the way that they're made. And so one of the things that I discovered, I started thinking about how I deal with my husband. I don't tell my husband to do something and to do it exactly my way and right now because I know that it won't happen.
That just doesn't work.
It does not work. It's the opposite of what works. And I realized that I wasn't applying the same logic to my strong-willed son as I was to my husband. So, for example, the other day my son was, you know, it was a Saturday night and he likes to stay up late on the weekends, but he was going to be speaking at church and so I wanted him to get some sleep. And so I came into the room and I said, I think you need to go to bed now so that you can get enough sleep. And then I stopped myself and I came back in and I said, go to bed whenever you want. And he went to bed shortly thereafter.
There you go.
And what you want to do with a child like that, I'm not saying that you let them get away with totally inappropriate or disrespectful behavior. You absolutely don't. There have to be consequences.
All right. I'm going to have to cut you off. We're going to take a short break here. Wonderful. And we will be back here at Faith and Family. You're listening to KFUO. Call in and join in on the discussion.
And welcome back to Faith and Family here at KFUO. I'm Liz Hoffman. We're discussing spring break this week and how to keep our kids occupied. We would love for you, our listeners, to get involved in the discussion. If you have a question for Dr. Wilson, or maybe you have a fun idea for an Easter activity or a craft, give us a call from St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or out of St. Louis, 800-730-2727, or email your questions or comments to family@kfuo.org. Now, I also want to mention that we have a link to Melanie's blog on our website, or we will have that up later today, so you can check that out. Anyway, thank you so much again for joining us. This is a great discussion. But let's talk a little more about Easter. What expectations do we set for our families when they have a break like this and they're going to be home for, a few days or more?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great time to really do some focused family devotional activities to prepare for Easter. I know most families just really struggle to find the time, especially to do family devotions with kids that involve object lessons and that are, just really fun, but they require some extra planning. This would be a great time to do some of that. On my blog today, I have a link to some, it's in the homeschool section. It's talking about what's hot in homeschooling this week, but it's a great link to Christ-centered Easter activities that I just really, really liked another blogger put together, and that would be something just fantastic to check out. But even if you just do a Google search and look for Easter devotions to do with kids, you'll find more than you could possibly do. And it's just an excellent time to go ahead and just really emphasize this is the whole focus of our faith this week and what we are remembering, what Christ did for us. So it's just an ideal time to take time to do that. One of the activities that I have on my blog also is Easter story cookies. I absolutely love this activity. It's something that you could do with your kids or grandkids. And ideally, you would want to do it on Saturday because you eat them on Easter morning. And it's just a really simple recipe that is great for kids with allergies because it excludes many common allergens like dairy and corn and things like that. And there's no wheat in it either. But what you do is each step of the recipe, the kids have an activity that they participate in making the recipe, but there are also scriptures that you look up that are tied to each step of the recipe.
Oh, wow.
And teach the whole resurrection story.
What a great idea.
It's fantastic. So I highly recommend that you check out Cycle with Six. It's the number 6.com, and then they can get the recipe there and go ahead and make plans to do that with their kids on Saturday.
That's a great idea. And like I said, if you forget that, yes, we will have a link to that on our website, kfuo.org. Okay, listeners, what are some fun things you like to do with the kids on Easter break? Give us a call, 800-730-2727, and let us in, and maybe you can share your ideas, and everyone can share their ideas, and we'll all just have all kinds of great things to do. Now, the Easter Bunny tries to take over the holiday, and, mm-hmm, I mean, he's everywhere. Mm-hmm. What are some things we as moms can do to not let him be the main part of Easter in our homes?
You know, it's something that I just never really talked about it. In my home, there weren't a lot of Easter videos that talked about the Easter Bunny coming and leaving, treats. It's just something, I didn't say, absolutely, we're not going to talk about the Easter Bunny. I just didn't talk about it. And so my children don't even think about the Easter Bunny per se. The only time that they do is we have an egg hunt at our church and they always take a picture with the Easter Bunny. But for them, it has nothing to do with Easter morning. They know that they get some small gifts on Easter and right, that they're from us, that they didn't appear because of a giant rabbit. I've honestly found that an easier thing to deal with than Santa Claus. That would be another whole subject, but I think you just don't talk about it. You just don't emphasize it. If you want to give your kids gifts, which I think that's fun. I love to take Easter as a time to give my kids outdoor gifts and things right. that they can use, like bubbles and sidewalk chalk and kites and hula hoops and all those great kinds of things that get them away from the screens.
Right, again,
and doing fun things outside.
Outside.
Right, and you know, we are very excited on Easter morning to get our new Easter clothes on and go to church and celebrate the resurrection. It is absolutely my favorite day of the church year, as I think it is for so many families. And I think if you just demonstrate that excitement to your children about going to church, that they're going to be excited too.
Right.
Now, my kids do an Easter egg hunt normally when the weather's nice. After church, they just do a little Easter egg hunt. But, you know, it's just adding to what is already such an exciting thing, which is just celebrating the new life that we have in Christ.
Very good. And some parents, maybe they're not off work for a whole week like the kids are, but maybe they can take off one day to enjoy it with the kids. What are some free things that you could do, or maybe just inexpensive things that you can do with your kids, attractions or different things?
Right. Well, you know, there are some obvious ones, you know, to check with your local area what is going on at your free museums and just area attractions. I mean, that's a great thing to do. Just kind of act like a tourist for a day in your local area. But some creative ideas. One would be to go on a park-a-thon for the day and just visit every area park or every that you can fit in and just take the kids. Just spend a minimum amount of time at each park and then let the kids say which park they enjoyed the most or which one they would like to go back to. It can be just a really fun thing to do and just take some snacks and some drinks with you while you're doing that. Then you could take a no-limit road trip. You could just jump in the car and tell the kids that you will stop wherever they want to stop. A lot of times when my family and I have been on a trip, we've seen like some little touristy trap or, you know, some interesting looking store, and we never have time
right.
to stop there because
right.
we're just like, oh, we got to get home.
Right.
And I think it would be so much fun just to go ahead and stop at places like that. And when you're done, you're probably going to have to head home on a straight shot. But that can be really fun just to give the kids some control instead of saying, no, we don't have time. No, we don't have time.
Very good. Some other thoughts I had, maybe go fly a kite, go to the park and fly a kite. Or
yes.
I was thinking, you know, you can make Easter eggs. We would always write on them, He is risen, or we would draw crosses on them and maybe deliver a couple eggs like that to the nursing home. Visit some people there or let your kids help you make cookies. Obviously, everyone has to bake and do different things for the get-together, so
right.
let them help you do that. Or maybe have the kids do a practice Easter egg hunt in the inside if it's yucky out. My kids do that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Another thing, make crosses out of popsicle sticks. Put a dot of glue and put them together, and then let the kids decorate them and maybe write He is risen on them, and then they can give them out to their family or at church on Easter Sunday. So, yeah, there's all kinds of ideas of different creative things you can do that it doesn't have to cost any money, if not
right.
just a little bit. So
right.
you are listening to Faith and Family here on KFUO. We're talking with Dr. Melanie Wilson about the importance of Easter and incorporating Christ in our holidays. And if you have a question or a comment for Dr. Melanie Wilson, or maybe you'd like to share an idea of what your kids like to do to celebrate Easter, give us a call, 800-730-2727, or email us, family@kfuo.org. We've still got time to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. Melanie, many kids, they don't have the luxury of having mom and dad around during their spring break at all. Maybe they may be in high school or middle school, so they are home by themselves while the mom and dad is at work. Any ideas of fun stuff they can do to, you know, you can get them to stay occupied, I guess?
You know, Pinterest is such an incredible resource for us now, and you could go on to Pinterest with your children, your older children who would be home by themselves, and look for some things that they would like to do during this break time. And then you could make sure that they have all the materials that they need. That would be a great idea. on my website, I also list some 50 great websites for kids that they could check out. You know, there are some incredible educational websites, just some fascinating videos and things for kids to check out. You can, of course, go to the library, as I mentioned before, and make sure that they have plenty of books and movies and audiobooks and even activity kits many libraries will allow you to check out. That would be a fantastic idea. Talk to friends who have kids who are going to be home, and maybe you can coordinate something. Maybe you could take turns being in charge of the kids and taking them to do some fun activities. Doing some fitness activities, indoor or outdoor, would be fantastic so that they're not just in the house not doing anything. How about some gardening? You could get them some supplies and show them what to do and have them be responsible for doing those kinds of things. Or cooking. Get them what they need to do some baking while you're gone, or some cooking, depending on the age of the child.
Sure, yeah.
But a teen absolutely could do that. So, I mean, there are wonderful classes. There are many opportunities that you could sign your child up for during this time as well.
Great ideas. Well, I was going to say, you know, it can even seem overwhelming to us moms, especially come these mm-hmm. holidays. Mm-hmm. We're not only working every day, but we have to think about preparing food for the holiday, making sure all the kids have their dress outfits clean and mm-hmm. ironed, and someone always has to have new shoes, or you know, the shoes don't fit, or gosh,
right.
Where is that other dress sock for my little girl? Or, you know, there's mm-hmm. always something. So there's always a shopping trip that's included in a holiday weekend. How would you say the working mom can get it all done, especially during a holiday?
Well, first of all, I have to say that my hat is off to working moms, because I don't consider myself a working mom, even though I do a lot of different things, because I don't have to be gone 9 to 5 every day. And I can do some things at home that have to get done that other moms don't have the luxury of being able to do. So it really is going to take some intense planning. You know, if you haven't planned for Easter yet and you're listening to this, then my suggestion is that you sit down and make a list of everything that you have to get done before Easter comes. So if you haven't had the kids try on their Easter clothes, why don't you go ahead and do that tonight, so that there isn't that last minute dash for, well, I need the, you know, somebody needs new shoes, or somebody needs dress socks or hose or whatever it is.
Right.
So do that, and then make a list of any cooking things that you're going to be doing, and get your grocery list going, and go ahead and get those things soon. If it's fresh fruit, like I'm making fresh fruit, you might not want to get it right now, but you know, set aside time in your schedule, figure out how it's all going to happen. I know, like on Saturday, that I'm going to be chopping up my fruit to get ready for Sunday morning, because right. I'm going to be at church, and then I have to go directly to my in-laws' house. So I'm not going to have time to be rushing around in the morning to do that. So it's a matter of figuring out, these are all the things that I have to do. Oops, I don't have enough time to do them all. I have to ask my husband to help me. I have to ask grandma to help, you know, and so that we don't find ourselves just completely strung out and stressed out.
Right, and I was going to say,
we don't want it to be stressful.
No, and it's not supposed to be. And,
right.
And like I was thinking, you know, even more importantly, how does mom not forget what we're really celebrating here?
Mm-hmm.
And these things are just the little things. And if my daughter's dress isn't perfectly ironed on Easter Sunday morning, it's not
right.
going to matter
in
the long run.
Right. Thank you for saying that, because, you know, you asked earlier, how do I do it? And when people ask me that question, I give them two answers. The first one is that I couldn't do any of the things that I do without the Lord. And spending the first part of my day with Him, in His Word, in prayer, is absolutely indispensable to my life. I could not do anything without Him. So that's number one priority. And then number two, I have an amazing husband who helps me in more ways than I could possibly count.
Right.
I mean, he is truly incredible, and I could not have six children and homeschool them and do what I do without his help.
That's so great. And I have to say, I'm kind of in that same boat because he's running the kids everywhere while mm-hmm. I'm here, which is a far commute for me to work. So, yeah, there's just no way uh-huh. without that support and that help.
Right.
And I'm also thinking of someone who's very wise and near and dear to me, and she always says, you know, Liz, is that going to matter in 5 years from now? Uh-huh. Does it matter in 5 years from now? So, mm-hmm. Jane, no, it doesn't always matter. Mm-mm. So, and I have to realize right. that just say, no, it's okay if it's not perfect. We do have it a caller is. Here. Cheryl has called in with a question or comment for us. Cheryl, thank you for joining Faith and Family.
Hi.
Hi, do you have a question or comment for us today?
I have an idea for an activity, an indoor activity for when it snows the week before Easter.
Yes, we need that information for sure.
For that activity, you need a plastic Easter egg. You need some acrylic paint. Mm-hmm. You need a sheet of two sheets of computer paper. The one piece of computer paper in half, then you fold it in half, you cut out half of a butterfly, then you can paint the butterfly, just pressing the paint together, press both sides of the butterfly together to paint it symmetrically, and you can do that for the other side. You have to let it dry. Then when it's dry, you can write Romans 6, verse 4 on it. We were therefore buried mm-hmm. through baptism, therefore buried with him through baptism, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Then you fold the butterfly, fold up the bottom part of the butterfly, fold down the top part of the butterfly so it's in thirds. Then you fold it back in half. Then you roll it up, and then with your other sheet of computer paper, you draw a cross that fills the whole paper and make it about an inch and a half wide both ways. And then on the cross, you write the verse, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins," 1 John 4, verse 10. You fold the cross in half. You fold the top part down. You roll it up around the butterfly. So you have those two things rolled together. You place them inside your plastic Easter egg. Then on the you turn the Easter egg upside down, and you paint a cross over the seam. And you then have a cross chrysalis. We are going to give these out at our Easter egg hunt on Saturday morning. And we are going to play a game with them. And for the game, you need the cross chrysalis, and you need a sheet, a large sheet, and you need a child. The child lies down on the sheet, and as you read Romans 6, verse 4, you stop when you get halfway through. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. You stop at that point. The child rolls himself up into the sheet. Then, as you finish the rest of the verse, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life, child unrolls himself and pretends to be a butterfly unfolding its wings.
Very neat.
We did this last year, and the kids really loved that.
That's great.
It's a simple game with a sheet.
Mm-hmm. Who would have thought? Yeah, that's really great. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for calling in and giving us that information. If you would happen to have that picture, send us that through email or maybe on Facebook, and we can post it so that we can share that with others.
I have an email of how to do the activity.
Yeah, that would be great. Share that with us, and we can post that on our Facebook page.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining. And Cheryl, where are you calling from?
Indianapolis.
Wonderful. We always like to hear where our callers are from. Thank you so much for being a part of Faith and Family today.
Okay.
All right. You're listening to Faith and Family here on KFUO. We're talking with Dr. Melanie Wilson about the importance of Easter and learning it the right way or teaching it the right way to our children. Melanie, as we get ready to wrap things up here, do you have any last-minute final thoughts here about Easter and spending it with your family?
I think you want to ask yourself, as you're looking forward to Easter, you know, will what I do with my children and what I say to my children this Easter make an impact on them for eternity? You know, am I just looking for just something fun to do, which is great. You know, it's great to have fun, but am I doing something that's really going to help them grow in their faith? Because if you're not going to do it this week around Easter, then you're probably not going to do it. So I think it's a good time to ask yourself some tough questions about, you know, am I going to take the time to do devotions with my child, read scripture with my child, maybe watch a biblical movie? There are some great Bible movies about Jesus that you could watch together. You know, what am I going to do that is really going to help them grow in their faith? And it needs to be a priority.
Wonderful. When I'm thinking about next week here on Faith and Family, coming up Monday, we'll be talking about adoption. Actually, all next week, we're going to be talking about adoption. On Monday, we have Mr. Alan Erdman. He is the CEO of Lutheran Family and Children's Services. So we'll be talking about the adoption process for parents today and the joys of welcoming an adopted child as a member of the family. So plan to join Faith and Family Monday at 11 on KFUO. And also wanted to make sure that you knew that Faith and Family is underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin. So you need to be sure and check out their website as well. And remember that we're going to have a link to Melanie's blog on our website for more information. And, yeah, we just want to stress that, yes, there are so many, I guess, obstacles out there in our lives with whenever we're talking about the holidays, and so many different avenues that families can take. And it's up to us as parents and mothers to guide our family in the right direction so that they don't go the wrong direction, and we keep Christ at the center of the family at Easter and then year-round as well.
Right.
Well, I've certainly learned a lot this hour. I've been taking notes here, things I need to do to get better organized. You mentioned calendars on the iPhone, and mm-hmm. I do use that quite a bit, and I'm kind of like you, have to
yes.
have that calendar and
mm-hmm.
the alerts. It's like, oh my goodness,
yes,
there's ball practice tonight. I forgot. So
right,
yeah, those are wonderful. And you mentioned Pinterest.
Yes, and, yes, and I have a board on Pinterest. If you search for MEL PhD on Pinterest, you can find my board, and I have a whole board on spring break ideas. So you can click on that and get even more ideas.
Okay, wonderful. And then you mentioned also a dry erase board on your refrigerator. Tell
yes,
us a little bit about that.
Yes, well, I use that. It's just a really inexpensive dry erase board that I stick on my refrigerator, and I use that for listing meals, what we're going to eat, because that's the most popular question in my house. And when I get asked it 7 times, and actually even multiple times, it seems like they forget once I tell them. It's just so nice to have that up there. And if I have an announcement to make, I will put that on there as well. And that's where they keep track of their game time.
I think that's a wonderful idea. Yeah,
well, good.
We're always hearing those same questions over mm-hmm. and over again.
Yes.
And I guess real quick, just a few minutes here, go through some quick ideas for Easter, just to kind of go over that again.
Well, you know, one of the really neat ideas that I saw online this week is that instead of just giving your kids an Easter basket on Easter morning, that you actually send them on a scavenger hunt to look for everything that's in their basket. And you can find that on my website, a link to those Christ-centered Easter ideas as well. So that would be a fun way to, you know, just extend the excitement of it instead of saying, you know, here's your goodies.
Right. That's
so
a great
you
idea.
Could absolutely do that. You know, there are resurrection eggs. There are examples of how to put your own resurrection eggs together where each egg holds a different symbol of Easter week in it with a scripture that you read to the kids, that would be, it's not too late to do that with your kids this week. So those are some really good ideas. Watch a Bible video with your kids and just really bring the whole story to life. I think it's so hard for kids to really understand what it is that we're talking about.
That's great. Dr. Melanie Wilson, thank you so much for joining us on Faith and Family. It's been a pleasure to have you, and you've had some great information. We thank all of our listeners for joining us on Faith and Family. You're listening to KFUO, the messenger of good news. We'll be back with you on Monday.